Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Oh, yeah. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Want to thank everyone for calling, texting, and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Boy, that means a lot to us. Thanks to Dustin Rhodes.
Listen up closely, Snowflake.
He's going to be watching Marquee Network somewhere, and he's going to tell poor old Mully exactly where it's at. And our thanks to Kevin Zipak.
He's exactly the turd he makes himself out to be on social media.
That's him in a nutshell. And Ray, we are now calling Ray, Ray of Sunshine.
Thank you, Ray.
Mitch,
I don't need the help of a man that I never met before. I don't even know who this man is.
And let's welcome in Dan Bernstein and Will Perdue. Will, God bless you.
Wow. Good morning, guys. Welcome, Will.
It's humbled.
It's early.
it's early for these guys. Yeah. Their day's over. Yeah. Their work day's done.
It's just getting started.
But after you did the Bulls game, I'm sure it seems a little bit early, right?
Yes, but I made an interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. We'll be the judge of that.
So, and I know people listening, I'm going to get it off the rails early.
Nice.
And I'm going to start pointing the finger at everybody that works in this place.
There's a lot of fingers.
But the good thing is, when you guys come in the morning, the bathroom's clean.
Oh, no.
It's pristine.
Yes.
No. You ever come in here on a Monday, believe me, God, you're taking your life in your hands.
But usually when I'm here working, I'm usually working in the afternoon. The men that work in this joint are pigs. Can you not hit a Target, please?
Oh, my God. Will, come in on a Monday morning, and it is shocking. I'm not kidding you. It is toxic, and it is shocking.
Yeah, the only thing worse is generally a press box bathroom. a press box men's room is
I had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
It's end of the earth.
If you want to put yourself in harm's way, stand in the doorway when you're at a sporting event and somebody sticks their head into the media area and goes, "Hey, buffet's ready." Yeah, it's a herd of cattle, man. You could hurt yourself if you get in the way.
Very bovine.
I've been laughing all morning about the Casey Urlacher story, this federal indictment.
Sweaters?
Obviously.
Sweaters is the one that jumps out of
Uncle
the
nickname. Nick and all that. It's a sweater. But the idea, just how dumb it is. Like, who came with this proposal of getting into the gambling business at exactly the same time governments are starting to tax it, right? It's starting to make money on it. Like, why would you do this when now everybody's incentivized even more to crack down on the illegality of things like this and the idiocy of things like this, when now you're taking money out of the pockets of governments? Like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into sports gambling. Nice timing on that.
Well, I mean, the answer is fairly obvious. Did they not find $1.something million in cash in the guy's house? I mean, I'm guessing that was probably
just
an incentive.
Walking around money. That's NBA money.
It wasn't even in his mattress?
No.
wasn't jewelry and watches and gold and silver bars?
Silver bars, yeah. Gold coins, and jewelry. Another $500,000 or $475,000 or some figure ridiculous.
This has got movie written all over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're talking about the title. Should it be Goodfellas or Dumbfellas for the reasons you mentioned?
The latter.
Yeah.
it's so low rent, you know?
I don't know how it worked or what happened with it, but it is, you know, again, you hate to see Brian Urlacher's good name kind of dragged through the mud because it's his brother who got caught up in the thing.
And if his brother wasn't caught up in it, you probably wouldn't even
be aware of it.
About it.
Right.
Well,
it wouldn't be a story because, you know.
Right. Sweaters wouldn't be known.
No.
I don't know why.
How many nicknames do we know?
That might be the dumbest nickname I've ever. How do you get the nickname
was it
Sweaters?
Maybe he was known for wearing multiple sweaters or lavish sweaters, or maybe he sweat a lot.
Or maybe he wore them out of a store.
Could be.
Multiple sweaters, got caught, who knows?
Well, maybe he was wearing sweaters because he had so much cash stuck in his belt.
That's a good one. I like that. Yeah.
That was one of the funniest things that I read. I don't know if it was David Roth or one of the other Twitter wags, that when we were talking about the Browns hiring Freddie Kitchens. And he said that Freddie Kitchens sounds like a nickname in a RICO indictment. Right? It's like Federico Chichenzi, a.k.a. Freddie Kitchens. Right? There's no way that's...
Yeah, that can't be real. Right, yeah, that's pretty good.
Right?
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, so I watched the Bulls game. Because the only other option was pouring bleach in my eyes. So I decided to... what am I doing? Well, help me out here.
What are they doing is a better question.
I love you guys, and I love the way you guys talk about it. And I get this sort of perverse joy now out of watching the Bulls, because I kind of, it's beyond hate watching now. It's hate myself watching. And I also enjoy the way that you and Jason and Kendall sort of not say things. You know, it's like, as I know what's going, I know you're watching the same thing we're watching, but there's a way you have to present it. It's the pauses, and it's like the looks it's at called, each other.
It's called creativity.
Diplomacy.
It's impressive restraint. It is.
It can't be easy.
This is the one thing I've learned amongst numerous things. And after I got past the layers of disliking you guys back when I played, because I thought you, at first, because I was swayed by other players and thought you guys were all a-holes. And,
well, that's accurate.
Yeah, that's kind of right.
But then later in life, I realized, you know, you guys are just doing a job. And now I'm on this side of the fence. You guys do this because of your love of sports, first and foremost. And we all want everybody, we want the Cubs to succeed. This is true, whether people believe it or not. We want the Bulls, the Blackhawks, the White Sox. We want all these teams to succeed, because when they play well, our jobs, your jobs, are so much easier.
Our lives are better when they're all really good.
It's so much more enjoyable. You even enjoy coming to work. As you talk about, Dan, now you're like coming to work going, okay, how do I spin this? How do I talk about this without coming across as being a total jerk?
Right.
You know, because the listeners as well get tired of the same old stories, the same old approach. So we're literally saying, okay, we have to be creative here, because we still want people to watch. We still want people to listen. But at the same time, we have to be concerned about our credibility. How do we talk about this without being so negative? We still have to talk about, there are some positives going on.
But you can't be too positive either.
Right.
No.
Not at this point.
But this is the one thing that Jerry Reinsdorf told me when I got into this business, and Jerry asked me, why do you want to do this? Well, I was a communication major at Vanderbilt. This was something that I thought about doing. It's also a way to stay associated with the game. But the one thing Jerry told me was, he goes, don't make it personal. Talk about what you see. And this was the interesting thing. The Chicago sports fan is more intelligent than most. This is Reinsdorf talking. You can't BS the Chicago sports fan. You have to be honest. But don't make it personal. Make sure that you're talking about what you see. Talk about what you want to talk about, but also, you know, be fair. And I was like, you know, coming from him.
Good advice.
A guy that's taken a lot of heat, you know, not from me, from you guys. I'm pointing the finger at you guys.
So, Will, you open the door then. If Jerry Reinsdorf is honest and doesn't make it personal, doesn't he look at what's going on with the Bulls and say, we got to change this? It cannot continue to – you got to do something different. It doesn't. I don't know if it has
looking
to be –
looking at empty seats is what he's looking at.
That's the reality that will get his attention more than anything else. Would you agree with that? Because last night was there were a lot more empty seats last night than in previous nights, but it's becoming a trend.
Yeah, very much so. And I know he was here in Chicago during the week of the Sox convention. I know he was at the game. I know he brought some Sox. There were a lot of Sox players there. So I know he personally looked around and knowing him, was like, I don't like what I see, and I don't like there's too many people dressed up as empty seats.
Sox players were comfortable.
Hey, man. They're the talk of the town, baby.
I used to love going
March
to those
26, games. March 26, can't get here early enough.
Right.
I had no problem with the empty stadium thing. That was great. As a fan, you just go sit anywhere you want. You wander around. You know, I brought my family there. The kids loved it. Food's great there.
Look, I tell stories about, and people don't believe me, about when I was young and going to Bulls games.
Oh, God.
And we would go down to Chicago Stadium, and I loved that drive down Madison. You're like, ooh, what's that? Well, that's a pimp. Oh, really? What's that? That's a couch on fire in front of a bunch of hookers. Okay, great. So this is exotic. Wow. And we'd go and walk up, like, literally to the ticket office and buy as many seats as you wanted wherever you wanted. Well, I was there on Jerry Sloan night.
Oh, yeah.
I was there sitting in like the seventh row center court. And if you had a kid's birthday party, happy it's your seventh birthday. Get a bunch of your friends. We'll throw them in a van. We'll go down to a Bulls game. And you just walk up and buy tickets and walk in and sit down.
Yeah. So I always tell the story. You know, when I came to Chicago, I knew nobody. So through my Vanderbilt connections, I was set up with my accountant / lawyer, and I'll say his name so all his friends will give him a hard time, John Hayes. Hey, man, he mentioned your name on the radio. But he always had season tickets, and he used to always talk about how they had season tickets in the second balcony at the old Chicago Stadium, and he said by the time the second quarter started, he was down in the main level on the third or fourth floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, man, we're sitting courtside, and we just paid for the second balcony.
Yeah.
But that's when he was younger and growing up. And
right.
Then he kept the tickets, and he always talked about how he thought his seat was better than once Michael Jordan showed up and the crowd started showing up. He was like second or third row. And you remember the old stadium? He said, I literally felt like I was leaning over the floor watching from above instead of back somewhere. And then he also got to the point where he also felt it was necessary that I'm not paying for this anymore.
Hmm.
And he no longer has season tickets because he was fed up.
Imagine if you were like a Cleveland fan and you had LeBron there and then he left and then he came back and you're sitting on the floor and then he left again. And now like he's not coming back this time. What do you do with
the status of your investment? And
exactly.
For. And, you know, it's
talk about a roller coaster.
And part of it, too, is so many people who have tickets. You know, I have friends who have season tickets, and it really is a business thing. It really is. It's not a fan thing. And it's about how I'm going to sell this game. I'm going to sell this number of games. Sell these games will pay for this. And it hits home when you're dealing with somebody who's also like a trader by profession, who looks at who commodifies everything. Every single aspect of it is commodified. Is what is this worth, and when is it worth what it's worth? And then it's like, how many games do you go to a year? Two. Yeah, really? Like, yeah. He's like, I'm not really interested. It's too much of a hassle. He's like, I got to get in my car. I got to drive down. I got to park. I got to do all this stuff. Forget it.
Well, imagine paying whatever it cost to get in the building last night and I'm watching them miss their first 17 three-point shots.
Oh, boy.
That's hard.
Well, it's not only watching them miss their first 17, but keep taking them.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, they're going to go in.
Well, they did in
just
the third
pretty late.
Quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it Wayman Tisdale who said, what's your philosophy? And he said, shoot when you're hot, shoot to get hot, shoot until Coach Tubbs takes you out. Like, all right, okay.
That's a philosophy.
It's also the game has changed. A lot of it's about analytics. You notice that the latest that they're talking about is the new face and voice that seems to be the leader in the clubhouse is the guy from the Pacers. And what is what does everybody mention in the article? He's an analytics guy. He believes in analytics. But it's not just him. I mean, that's just the direction that the league has gone. Layups and threes.
If three is more than two.
If you're making it.
Yep.
Well, there's the rub. You got to have guys that can knock them down in order to take them. I mean, theoretically, if we hit this many threes, we're going to win the game. That's what the analytics show. But we don't have a guy who can hit one.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
I forgot who told me this, but ifs and buts were candies and nuts. We'd all be happy at Christmas. But if you're not hitting them, though,
exactly.
And you also have one of the best mid-range guys in the game in Zach LaVine. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but isn't one of the best players in the league, if not the best player at the moment when he's healthy and playing, a mid-range king in Kawhi Leonard?
That's right.
Now everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, but he hit 8 threes in the All-Star game. Well, he was jacking him up because he was in the All-Star game. But when it comes down to it and it's the fourth quarter and the ball is handed to him, what is he going to do? He's going to kill you with the mid-range game. He may get one or may throw up one or two threes, but he knows where his sweet spots are, and that's 15 to 18 feet. And he's going to kill you, and you're going to go home with your chin on your chest and be like, how did that just happen?
Dan, I imagine the show is built around getting out of Will's way today. That might be a good idea.
We're going to do plenty of Bulls, and we're also going to talk to Craig Calcaterra, the lead baseball writer at NBC Sports. That's going to be a 10, as I don't know if you played the Jonathan Lucroy stuff.
Yeah,
That
was really
good. Wow. Yep. Say that they actually officially reported the Astros to MLB, and they didn't do anything until the story came out, until there was bad press. They did not act on it.
It answers the question of why Mike Fiers decided to go through the media, right?
Obviously, yeah. I mean, he had no choice because nothing was getting done. We also had the Ben Gordon Players Tribune story merits some attention.
Oh, really,
we're going to get to that. FanGraphs has come out with their Zips projections, which is sort of similar to the Pecota system. Mm-hmm. There's news in there for Cubs fans and Sox fans into what that algorithm thinks is going to happen in the baseball season. And there's a huge story also that came out of a golf podcast with the recently let go Peter Costas. It's not quite to the level of the Astros, but he is he's giving some information out for the first time about a cheater at the top levels of the PGA.
All right, great stuff.
Have a good show, guys.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
I'm done.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.